You are now listening to part three of the July 2nd, 2007 Jimmy Dunn Podcast.
Ready?
All right.
And we're back.
And we're back.
That's right.
We're back.
Still.
Part three of our July show. That's right. The we wanted to talk a little bit about Hugo.
Hugo.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Getting ready for the Hugo party.
That's right.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I can feel it.
Well,
he's taking over the world. He's taking away your rights.
That's right. Well, let me tell you the headline on this article, and I forget what's run writers. In Venezuela.
Country's turning all around?
Huh?
Country's turning all around?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, it's turning around all right. it's called upside down and inside out. It's like an inside. What was it? Was there one of those Simpsons where.
That's right, baby.
Exactly. There are two articles here that talk about this sort of thing. In Venezuela, obstacles to 21st century socialism is the name of the headline here.
Totally different than 20th century socialism.
Well, that's right. Yeah, right. As if
obstacles.
Well, when you think that in all of recorded history, and my guess is in unrecorded history and prehistory, socialism has never, not once, worked.
Right.
Never. Every time it's been tried.
What about what that one time? No.
No, that's right. Not even that.
Sorry.
Harmony, Indiana. You know, it finally failed. I mean, whatever. And that was like a small group of people. In Caracas, this is from Reuters. President Hugo Chavez's ambitious project to bring 21st century socialism to Venezuela is running into obstacles.
Oh.
Easy cash, corruption, and expanding class of citizens who are growing rich by exploiting economic distortions. Well, duh. Chavez promised a revolution when he won his first election in 1998. Since his third election victory in December, he has pledged to accelerate Venezuela's transformation into a society where a, quote, new man, unquote, is free of selfish urges and devoted to the common good. Now, in case you're...
Keep clapping.
Yeah, they're going to get the clap. But anyway, 9 years into Chavez's rule, some analysts say the idea of creating a new man in a classless society has even less chance of success in Venezuela than past attempts in other countries from Russia to Nicaragua and Cuba. And they go on to say Venezuelans are individualists like nobody is. But I love this. A few snapshots of life in Venezuela help explain the skepticism over the emergence of the, quote, new man, unquote. Standing in front of a poster that says, the informal economy is forbidden, a woman in a prim white blouse whispers, dollars, 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 offering them at twice the official exchange rate. A pair of bored policemen look on. At a luxury hotel in the center of Caracas, a guest in a pinstripe suit pays his bill with wads of cash the size of bricks. At a bustling supermarket, shelves are stacked with imported whiskey, but bare of meat and eggs. And in a small town in the Andes, police drive around in a shiny new Hummer that barely fits through the narrow streets. Venezuela's currency black market stems from rigid currency controls. Shortages of basic goods result from price controls, and wads of cash and luxury cars originate from an oil boom and public spending that have contributed to the fastest economic growth and highest inflation in Latin America. I mean, we talk about inflation of Latin American proportions. I remember hearing that. As that's the that is the pejorative
term.
He's
got no record to beat.
That's right. No, I mean, other than Germany,
right?
You know, with the when they couldn't even afford the paper, they had to
print the money.
They would overstamp the old money with the new money. I mean, literally, you could find stamps that were like one mark that would, or you know, 20 pfennigs or whatever it is, that would send a letter from Berlin to Frankfurt or something, and overstamped it said 100 million marks or something like that. That's what it cost to send something. The point is that while these viruses exist in abundance in our society, it's impossible to build a fatherland and even less socialism. He said, quoting Karl Marx, he added, each new society is born infected with the old society. And one of the old infections, corruption, appears to have worsened. Surprise, surprise, since Chavez took office. Governments
need to scream and
here's the other thing. Here's what I was talking about earlier about government statistics versus what's really happening. Government statistics show that the percentage of Venezuelans living in poverty shrank from 42% to 30% under Chavez. Poverty researchers, however, at the Catholic University outside Caracas put the present rate at around 45%, i.e. it's gone up. And I love this. To hear critics of the government tell it, they got a new class of people called the boli burguesa. This is the phrase is a contraction of the contraction of the words Bolivar, Latin American's liberator, and bourgeoisie, a play on the Bolivian Revolution Chavez declared in 1999. To hear government critics tell it, the boli burguesa include Venezuelan actives in the black and gray markets, government bureaucrats who impose, quote, surcharges on routine services, middlemen in oil deals, money launderers, and drug trafficking organizations. Chavez has acknowledged that his revolution is far from complete, despite far-reaching land reforms and a campaign to nationalize strategic industries. His present term runs through here's the money sentence, last sentence. His present term runs through 2012, but he has begun talk about a new target date set years in the future. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
No, my point is,
forever, man.
Yeah, that's no. He's going
like, as long as I'm here, man.
No.
Listen to me.
It'll be like what we'd like, of course, is the same thing they got in North Korea, where he's
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, he's actually not the president. He's the premier or whatever you want to call it. His dead father is still the president. Right.
Right.
I mean, so maybe Hugo's figuring that life after death, you know, he's going to go on and continue forever.
Shit.
Exactly. But I mean, what is fascinating about this is that I've talked about the acceleration, the decline of Venezuela ever since the guy got in practically. And it is even faster than Jimmy has predicted.
Since before he got in, we were talking about this.
We were.
Go back and listen.
That's right. Listen to the old WLO. What was it?
I don't know about that. Not 98, but we were talking about this 2 years ago for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, the point being that it's so funny because, as you say, let me back up a second. The question is, will the people in this country learn from this guy? And the answer is no.
Nope.
The answer is no. No matter how abject a failure socialism is, again, no matter how can I put this? Sometimes a socialism will fail over the span of a couple of generations, and you can look back and say, well, you know, that's the way it was when I was a kid, or my parents were kids. But this is going to happen. Literally in doggy years. This is going to be in the generation of my pet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the simple fact is it's going to fail miserably. And there's going to be rubber bullets are going to be replaced by lead bullets. There's going to be secret prisons. Death and destruction will reign over Venezuela. And you're still going to find a healthcare hill and blowjob bill touting the socialism of the healthcare system, which is a start.
Yeah.
And of course, here we have. Yeah, locally, we have in the Protective Society, this year at least, we're allowed to have sparklers. Next year it'll be sprinklers. We're allowed to have sparklers for the 4th of July. Next year they'll probably be banned. So that's what happens in Venezuela. Now, to another socialist country, headline from wherever
we're
this
done
is.
With Hugo. We could spend the whole hour.
No, we could easily because again,
I'll this restrain is, myself.
We will still by the time this show ends. There's a chance that Venezuela will have gone completely in the direction. I don't mean it's fast, but part four of this show,
right.
We'll be reading the obituary for Venezuela.
In light notes.
That's right. So anyway, in Iran, rationing fuels discontent in Iran. Can you imagine?
Rationing fuels?
Yeah. They are now pulling a Jimmy Carter. They've decided to have...
Don't they make oil in Iran?
They make more than... they export it.
Right.
They export it.
Right.
And they still have to ration it. It is funny. They claim, of course, because they don't have the refining capabilities, but it's not like they couldn't build a refinery tomorrow morning. I mean, they don't have any environmental...
Like the blueprints are on the web, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not
Google
like they...
Google oil refinery, okay?
And look, here's a guy who's a dictator. I mean, it's not like he has to put up with some stupid committee.
Right.
I mean, environmental protection. I spit on your polluted spit last week. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, they could turn the first shovel tomorrow morning and have a refinery built by the end of the week. I mean, it's no problem. So anyway, they have instituted fuel rationing imposed this week, maybe an attempt to reduce Iran's dependence on foreign gasoline imports that Western governments could eventually use to pressure Tehran. They raised gasoline prices 28%, and now guess what a gallon of gasoline costs in Tehran? 38 cents. 38 cents, and they're rioting in the streets. And you know what they do? This is so great. This is like what they do in here in the United States when they have a race riot. The first thing they do is they burn down the gas stations. I'm serious. I mean, this is so funny. You know, you have a race riot in Watts, and the first thing they do is burn down your own house.
Right.
I mean, we're for the homeless. Boom. Let's burn down our house. I mean,
burn down the homeless shelter.
Well, government estimates put employment at 10%, although economists put it at 30%. I mean, the point is that the government says everything's rosy, and they're looking out the government window and watching people with pitchforks and torches marching down the streets. And, well, it's okay. it's okay. Many fear that the boost in fuel costs will worsen inflation. This is interesting. Many fear that the boost in fuel costs will worsen inflation, which the central bank says is 14%, but economists say it's 25%. Now, 25% inflation per year. One thing you can realize about inflation. Inflation accelerates. It is not going to stay 25%. I guarantee you next year it'll be 50, year after that 100, 200, 300, 400%, because that what has once you are used to inflation of 25%, it doesn't do any good anymore.
It's built in.
Right. It's built in, yeah. Right. So it has to go up. That's what they do. But here's what they don't understand. It says that the boost in fuel costs will worsen inflation. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. And the writer of this thing, this guy, Ali Akbar Darini, who wrote this from the Associated Press, interesting, he doesn't realize that a cost increase is not inflation. You could have, in this country, gasoline prices go to $240 a barrel gasoline or oil go to $240 a barrel and gasoline be $10 a gallon. That is not inflation. That's called a price increase. It happens all the time. You have price decreases. And nobody says that when the price of a computer goes from my first Apple IIe, for instance, was almost $4,000, and today I can get something that is, you know, on a chip. My watch is more important, is more powerful than that. It could send a man to the moon on this damn watch.
Right.
And it's, you know, $10.
Right.
And nobody says it's deflation. But if you know, to be consistent, you'd have to say that. But the simple fact is, gasoline at $10 a gallon would be offset by, I don't know, apples at a nickel and something else. Inflation is simply when the government prints too much money, more than the increase. That's all it is. So that's where this guy made a slight mistake. Amijamad Bagjad has promised, whatever his name is, has promised to improve our living conditions, but he's brought us misery and poverty, said Hamad Reza Suki, an Iranian analyst. I mean, I'm sitting here looking
at... Jimmy studied Arabic in college.
Obviously so.
Jimmy speaks many
languages.
Are we
in light notes?
Look.
Go ahead.
This is what I do. Internal pressure has made it difficult to tackle one of the country's most significant economic problems. Gasoline subsidies that cost the government billions of dollars a year and encourage high demand. Well, duh! I mean, the simple fact is, if you subsidize gasoline And then you put up, and then you say, but you can't have any. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that old joke where the lady walks into the butcher and she says, how much is your prime rib? And he says, it's, $8 a pound. And she says, whoa. She says, the guy down the street selling it for $3 a pound. Well, why don't you go down there and buy it? Well, he's out. He says, well, when I'm out, it's $1 a pound. So I mean, the point is, this is the same thing here. Iran is one of the world's biggest oil producers, and you know they've got they're next door to the places. I mean, they could do a horizontal drill job and steal it all and steal it all from their neighbors,
right?
You know, so
Iraq just caves in like a sinkhole.
That's right. It just collapses.
Right,
you know,
that's right.
It's like sucking the ice cream out of one of those melty cones. You know, how you used to bite the bottom off a cone,
right.
And zoom. That's it. That's what they ought to do. I mean, they, you know, what the hell. So anyway, I'm done with that. Anyway, they're going down the toilet too. Socialists, dictators, collectivists of all stripes.
Bye-bye.
Could not have said it better. Could not have said it better. So I'm done with it. Anything else on that? No.
Yep.
Next thing I've got is your professor, interestingly enough, says that global warming is dangerous to your freedom. And we know this. This is the first guy. Professor Wells, a researcher in Cardiff, England. Eh, oh, I say, Bernie, if you know this guy. Has published an article warning that climate change could lead to a global militaristic totalitarian state. Well, we've been saying this. Neil Bortz even has been saying this for ages. And Jimmy has too. Jimmy said it first, right. The professor argues this open invitation to a military environmental elite to gradually expand control. We see this here locally. There's some people here who shall remain nameless who've got theirs. They drive around in their SUV and so forth. When you realize, of course, I'm going to digress just for a second. It's a slight digression. Small, very small.
It happens.
One of the reasons we have SUVs is because of government. I don't know if people realize this. They're complaining, and they want. I think they just raised, as a matter of fact, didn't they raise the CAFE standards? I think they want to go to 37 miles to the gallon from the current 27 or something.
Right. And actually, the Hanger Dogs did a nice bit on that.
Well, what's interesting is that
Hanger Dogs are back.
Yeah, yep. Hanger Dogs. That's
while
right.
We're in a digression. See, when we go into a digression, we can digress as many times as we want.
We can go from the from the root. To the stem, to the branch, to the leaf.
I'm talking
and
to
not
the
even,
bud.
And then go and
then
go to the next.
Fall off and decompose.
That's
and
it. Start
talking.
Right. That's we're right. Talking serious digression.
So what the hell happened to the hanger duck?
They're back.
They're back. That's right.
They took a long flight.
They did something.
Somewhere, man.
Well, you know, I would say that the hanger dogs have jobs. But they keep sending me stuff on websites that are the most obscure things in the world, and I'm thinking that their job must be to invest.
Superwastedtime.com.
Oh man, I'll tell you, they got apparently they wore out Tetris and Solitaire.
Right. Yeah. No, they won.
Yeah, they won. That's right.
I was just kidding.
They won. That's right. So that's it. They got down to where they could do.
They won golf, and
that's
now.
Right. And now they're investigating the most to see who can find the most obscure website. Site and send it to all their friends, and we get like three a day. You know, these.
Oh man, now they had a K-Man and Al Gore. A K-Man did an Al Gore on there. I was laughing my butt off about the fact. Guy, Stitch is talking about global warming and carbon offsets and global warming and all that. It's just hysterical. You got to check it out. They talked about the buying the hybrid and what it really comes down to as far as you're not gonna. Not going to save
ain't saving the earth. Hey, by the way, superwastedtime.com, not taken. Oh, totally available.
All right. That's our next one.
That's right. Super waste of time.
I have a special Stitch bulk email file. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Stitch bulk email.
We got a frog in here, eh?
Yeah, look at that. A Jimmy frog.
Oh, my God.
That's one of our guests. Put that on the guest list.
Let's reel it back in here. Whee!
Well, the frog is okay. It's going to eat Jimmy's pet cockroach.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, he says the modern green junta is unlikely to arrive with tanks in the streets and overnight capturing control. Rather, it creeps upon us through multiple small steps, each one justified by necessity. And of course, we've talked about the boiling of the frog.
Jimmy, you were about to say SUVs. Right.
One of the things that when they first passed the CAFE standards, they exempted light trucks. At that time, we had zero SUVs in the United States of America. Zip, none. So they took the light truck chassis, duh, and they put the SUVs on. They made this thing called an SUV. Mm-hmm. And they, so they were exempted from the CAFE standards, which are the
regulations.
Well, that's the one that, that made the average mileage go up to 27.5. You know, it was like they had a decade or something to do it. So they did it, except everybody started buying SUV because you didn't have to pay the penalty. You didn't have to pay the big, they had a luxury penalty. So they made all the SUVs cost just under whatever the luxury tax was. And they built them on light truck shot. Well, duh. I mean, this is, so
the that's why you get 17 miles to the gallon.
Well, really? My point is that, that now the environmentalists are decrying and they're saying, oh, you horrible people with your SUVs. Well, you're the ones that did it. I mean, right. That's the whole point.
Without question.
This again, like government.
And we talked about that. It was right when it happened.
But the point is, what's so funny about this is that the government creates a problem and then rides to the rescue like the Lone Ranger on a silver horse. No.
Here you white horse. Save the day.
Right, exactly. And they come up with another solution to the problem that they created. And guess what? Two more show up. Surprise, surprise. And they award themselves plaques.
And hell, a 4% raise, too.
That's right. Oh, always a raise.
Congress just gave themselves a raise,
didn't
they?
Right. No, that's right. We got to have a raise.
That was the first thing they did Monday morning. Got to have a raise.
Yeah, because we're saving everybody money. And, $165,000 a year to be a congressman.
They work 200 days a year or something they work?
Well, yeah. I mean, like they 3 days a week in the Senate and four.
I'd pay them more if they worked less.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Well, we do the same thing here. That's a good point. Good bumper
T-shirt.
Sticker.
They should get a pay raise. They should get a bonus every time they repeal a law.
It said the government. Yeah. I'll pay you more if you work less.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, they've always said that the one that's been around for 200 years is no man's life, liberty, or property is sacred while the legislature's in session. We've always known that. The next thing I'm going to talk about is South Korea.
By the way, paymoreworkless.com, not taken.
Okay. I'm glad to see that Jack Rose is on the trail.
Yeah,
that's right. We're in the process of snapping these. We're gonna. What do you call it when you squat on the name and wait for somebody to buy?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. Squatting.
Squatting. Yeah. That reminds me.
Squatting.com, not taken.
So South Korea.
Congressional leaders skeptical of South Korea trade deal. Now it brings me to something else. I thought it's interesting that it's called CAFTA because it's South Korea, or SCAFTA, I guess it is. I don't know. SCAFTA, the South Korea trade deal. Well,
sounds like we're going to get the SCAFTA.
Well, let me tell you.
SCAFTA.
That's right. The United States and South Korea on Saturday signed one of the largest free trade deals for Washington since the
Now, this could be huge. Seriously, this could be huge.
Well, it could be.
Condi Rice, didn't she have something to do with it?
Yeah,
Condi?
They all did. The point is, the problem is that it's got to be approved by Congress. Up until 2 days ago, President Bush had something they called Fast Track, and a lot of people are upset about this because what happened was President Bush could negotiate trade deals without congressional authority or anything like that and
thank goodness
sign them. Well, you say that, but of course there's totalitarian, who knows what kind of trade deal. There's always mischief in these trade deals anyway, but the deal is they have to be approved by legislatures of both countries. The agreement would expand trade between the countries, already worth about $79 billion a year. As much as $20 billion could be added to that number. What it does, of course, it eliminates tariffs on 95% of consumer and industrial products on both sides within 3 years. Now, this is always a good thing. It is interesting to find out who is against this. And as always, it's the farmers. Not so much our farmers, but their farmers are upset because they are being subsidized, as our farmers are subsidized.
But our farmers bent over and took.
Yeah, on this one they did, right. But because what we want to do is we want to sell them more cars is one of the things. That's the other thing.
Why the hell would they want to drive our cars?
Here's the deal. Look at this. I love this. In Washington, lawmakers contended that the trade agreement failed to remove non-tariff barriers that they said confined American automobile exports to South Korea to 5,000 cars last year, while South Korea exported 700,000 cars. What are you doing over there?
Just making sure he's getting jump on Jack. Scare the crap out of him.
Hurry up. So anyway, the point is, though, that, like you say, who wants to drive one?
Come on.
Give me a break. No,
theirs are better.
Well,
especially for driving.
We're buying 700,000. You know, so the Hyundai, I guess, and the Kia aren't they both South Korean cars? The deal is, though, what's interesting is something that Adam Smith talked about, and one of the greatest expansion of material wealth in this country in any country is the division of labor. And you, what you do is you go to the place where they can produce the best for the cheapest. You buy it from them, then you do whatever you do best and cheapest, and you sell it to the, and you provide that item.
I thought you meant you cut them in half.
That too. But it's interesting that when you find out who's against this stuff, at the South Korea, they're always worried about the beef market. South Korea doesn't buy any of our beef because they discovered a mad cow in Oregon or something years ago. So but it's interesting. I love this. South Korea, I didn't realize this, is a $300 billion import market. That's a chunk of change. And we, and the United States does 11% of that. So, I mean, 90% is from China and Japan and, you know, who knows else. We could get a piece of that. So anyway, as always, in this deal is relief. This is where they distort the market. In order to help the farmers in South Korea, they provide them with subsidies so that they stay in farming and remove the tariffs, but then give them money back. And in this country, what they do is if you lose a job in the automobile industry, you get a subsidy to keep you doing, I don't know, not working or something like that. I mean, it's amazing how they distort the market and they just don't understand why it's not going to work out. Okay, moving on. I'm ready now to move into a little bit of a light note.
Light note.
Okay, Beaver, let's keep this short. Okay, Beaver, we all want to get home to our families.
Yeah, let's whip out some light notes.
Okay, this is great. There are 12 7-Elevens that are going to come Quickie Marts.
Yeah, I love this.
The Simpsons movie opens when? In about 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And, of course, are we Simpsons fans here or what?
Oh, man.
Seen a few episodes.
We got them like memorized. But I love this. A dozen of them. They've shrouded them. Apparently, they put big tents over them, and they reopened them up as Quickie Marts. And they're going to sell. Yeah, they're going to sell like squishies and what crusty-o's.
Man, someone's gone.
God bless America.
Yeah. Well, what I like about this is there's one down here in Orlando. I mean, I'm going to have to go see that. I'm going to go. There's no question.
You're going to have to take your recorder then.
I'm going to go down there and see. I'm going to go.
They're really going to sell Crustios? Who makes the Crustios?
Do they come with a jagged metal O? That's what I want.
I'll tell you right now, it says here that in some cases, 7-Eleven has even contracted with manufacturers of similar products to make their Quickie Mart counterparts. Malt-O-Meal of Northfield, Minnesota cereal maker will conjure up a recipe for Crustios, for example. In others, existing products will simply be renamed. One flavor of 7-Eleven's own Slurpee will be sold as the Woohoo Blue Vanilla Squishy.
Nice.
For the month.
I am buying one of those.
I tell you.
It is a collector's dream.
Well, this is something that Jimmy missed out on, and I'm upset about this. After Fox pitched a 7-Eleven tie-in last year, representatives from the studio and the stores and Gracie Films, including Simpsons creator Matt Groening, and executive producer James L. Brooks met in Los Angeles to kick around ideas. Brooks added one, holding a contest to let one fan be drawn into a future episode of the TV show. How do we miss that?
Wow, I don't know.
I mean, I wonder, is it over? I mean,
crap, I forgot!
I mean, this has got to be, this is a Jimmy special.
Right.
I mean, God, what I would give, I would pay so much.
Hey, I got you, I got no bid here, I got no, 72, anybody want to go higher than 2? I got 2 right now, okay, over there, no, 0. I got none, I got 2, I got bupkis, I got 2, nothing, hey.
That's exactly, I'd pay that much. To be on this show, are you kidding? I love this. They're going to have extra security and clerks at the Quickie Mart. Security, I love this. It turns out that they're wondering about offending people because of Apu, of course. That's the case
Do your plans always involve some horrible web of lice?
That's the case for Kumar Asadas, a 20-year-old franchisee whose parents immigrated from India. His store in suburban Las Vegas is one of the temporary Quickie Marts, and he's loving it.
Yeah, man.
Right.
He's Apu.
Yeah.
He is going to be Apu.
Apu.
Apu. They did 11 of them in the United States, and New Science replicated the animated look of the Quickie Marts. I mean, they've got them all over it. To our listeners, there's one up in Canada, New York City, Dallas, Denver, Burbank.
It's not Canada. It's Canada.
That's what I meant. But I think that's fabulous. I think that's fabulous. I mean, I just, God.
You see this one about the burglars in Arkansas?
Nope.
Is it broke into the bank? Stole the safe. Of course, the safe weighed a ton. So they decided, literally a ton, that's 2,000 pounds, plus So they decided to steal the forklift that was at the construction site next door, break through the wall, and pull the safe out. So
and
they got away.
And they got away.
Yeah, not sure. He thinks though we of course they're confident they will locate him, but no.
Because of the tracks through the concrete.
Can you imagine the drag thing? I mean
drags all the way down the street right to your house.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It didn't say if they took off in the forklift or not. But
what I mean is if you see the middle of the road, you know, all split like an earthquake.
I got one.
Okay.
Did you see that Virginia has instituted parking fines? In excess of thousands of dollars.
Up
to $3,000 for a parking fine. Driving.
Driving. No.
Yeah, baby.
Talk about draconian measures. I mean, just for going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, the base fine is, they call it the civil penalty, is $1,080, and on top of that, there's a fine for $200.
Well, they said one of the things that apparently is interesting. Again, this is when governments get involved in something, it all goes to hell. A lot of these are fees; they call them some kind of fee,
right?
Rather
there's
than a
cost, fines, and then civil penalty.
Right, and so it turns out that if you're not from Virginia, you're not subject to some of this stuff.
Right. Well, that's only because the Virginia legislature decided that they couldn't enforce it on people coming through.
Okay.
Because nobody, who's going to come back to leave them a tenth of your year's wages or something? I mean,
right.
It's crazy.
No, it's insane. And they did it, of course, it's public safety. They're going to take half the money to repair the roads, and the other half is, I don't know.
I didn't even see the thing about public safety. What I saw was that they were doing it to repair the roads.
Right. That's always public safety.
Well, if you say so, I guess. I thought that was kind of funny, you know.
It makes sense that people drive on the roads. We have that here. It makes sense that you have a user's fee, and that's one of the reasons why I like toll roads. The people that drive ought to pay for the roads if you're driving.
Okay,
I guess one way is if you do something illegal on the road that maybe you should help pay. I don't know. But it's one of those things. My point is that I would think that let the Darwinian rule come in. In the Virginia thing, it turns out that the big fines are for DUIs and stuff, but apparently if you accumulate points, well, like you say, by speeding 20 miles an hour, the speed limit, you get, like, demerits. They call them demerits. Reminds me of my old camp days. anyway, you accumulate, and that's when the thousands of dollars, and apparently it's continuing. As long as you have the demerits on your ticket, like, next year you have to pay again? I mean, it's
amazing. They give you a couple years to pay, but still. That's just an outrageous.
Well,
outrageous.
You can imagine though that this is when the tar and feathers will probably appear in the streets.
Yeah. I mean, this is talk about highway robbery.
Yeah, exactly. It defines highway robbery.
And then you know our Washington correspondent wrote in and asked if that was similar to the Florida where we have if you're driving through a place where there's construction workers, they've got these signs up that say. Speeding fines doubled when workers present.
Right.
And
is that going to double it again?
I don't know. All I know is it's speeding. I don't know if it's similar to that, but it's similar to getting reamed by a hot poker. That's what I thought it was.
Bend over and it's warmed up for
hey,
you. Well, let me just finish on one thing on that. Because that law, I think, took effect like yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
They have another one. This was in this same article called Hundreds of New Laws Take Effect on July 1st for some reason. I guess they always take effect on January 1st and July 1st. But in Iowa or in Indiana, they have a new thing that all all mobile homes must have
a weather
radio.
Right.
I guess they
switch. CJ's law.
Right.
Yeah, see.
Laws with a name on it.
That's right. Apparently somebody died in a tornado or something.
The two-year-old, the youngest. Exactly. The youngest victim. Was two, CJ, and so they've named the law after him.
So
run for the hills.
Well, you run for the hills. Well, what's great about this, of course, is that apparently all mobile homes, not only the new ones, but all mobile homes now have to have these radios. But and if you don't, I guess they send a SWAT team out and kill you.
Right.
You know what? All mobile homes should really have. That's right. All mobile homes should really have just a big freaking anchor. All right.
Well,
so if wind comes, they don't blow away.
Well, they do have here in Florida. Of course, they've got some.
Yeah,
things
I know they got bands.
How about one room that's made kind of tough?
Well, let me tell you something.
About one room. Just one real room in the
middle. Let me tell you something they can do in Indiana that we cannot do here. They can dig a basement.
Dig a hole, yeah.
Yeah, they can dig a hole. We can't do that here. We go swimming.
All right, you hear about this, Dad.
No, wait, I'm not quite done with it. I'm not done with that yet. I thought it was interesting that some of the complaints on this come from the people that say, well, wait a minute. Why are you singling out the mobile homes? We all know, of course, that tornadoes aim for mobile home parks, so we know that. Exactly. So I understand that. It's 10 times as many people
right,
die.
There's something in the that's manufacturing.
Left, left, a little more to the left, left. Yeah!
The material,
no,
yeah.
I mean, that's if you're going to be a storm chaser,
right. you buy a mobile home.
You buy a mobile home, or you map out where they are.
Right, right.
And then you go. But, I mean, seriously, they people are complaining. They say, well, why don't they have these require these radios in all houses?
Right.
And
buildings.
And of course, my thing is, and this is where I say, let Darwin rule. If you're so stupid as to not want to know when a tornado is heading your way, I'm sorry.
Bye-bye.
Dorothy, you can go to Oz, you know, the tornado, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Click your heels and you're not in Kansas anymore.
Man, I think they should give out iPods with the Jimmy Doan show on. All right, so now, did you hear about this dead...
That's our outside microphone, by the way.
Yeah, really.
Did you hear about this dead camel in Sweden?
Whoa!
Dead camel found on the side of the road.
No, I don't believe it.
Molested?
No,
apparently they just somehow... They said, it's unfortunate, dead camel. We feel bad here, judging by its injuries. Apparently the camel was being transported on a trailer, some type of trailer, but somehow fell off and was killed. And obviously the owners took off... I can only assume that it was the Taliban with their 15 camels and they're, hurry, oh, get back in, go.
You know, you could
part of a convoy.
I would guess that if you saw some towel heads heading your way riding camels, that you might
that's
suspect,
a politically correct term. I believe towel head is
that you might suspect that these are the people that are going to blow you up.
Well, you know, you've seen that. How do you know if a terrorist is at the airport? You know, and in the parking lot there's the camel sitting there, right?
Well, I mean,
you got it. Come on. Not only, I mean, if it's anybody reputable at all, they're not going to just leave the camel. I mean, this is several thousand dollars. I'm telling you, Taliban is in Sweden.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's not like they're indigenous to Sweden or anything.
Right.
It's not like there's great caravans of camels marching across
Sweden. There's no sand, plenty of water.
Right.
No.
Straight camel.
We are camel in Sverige.
Yeah.
Or whatever the word, I don't even know what the word for camel is.
Did you hear that joke about the Afghanistan guys that came to America, they decided to see who's going to get most Americanized the fastest, and the one guy comes up and he goes, I'm taking my kids to soccer, I went to McDonald's for breakfast, you know, I'm picking up a case of Budweiser and my SUV and going home watching football on my big screen TV. How can you top that? And the other guy goes, fuck you, towelhead.
That's the way to
always politically correct here at the Jimmy Doan Show. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We do this.
We're going to go ahead and add the explicit thing to
it. I
wasn't the only one that dropped the F-bomb on this one.
You know, I had to do it occasionally.
All right, so got to like that one. So
I saw this headline and thought, this is the headline was funny. I didn't even read the story. FDA detains fish.
What else?
Hey, where are you going? Where are you going?
You talking about the actor guy?
No. I think he's dead.
Healed from soap.
Easy to detain when they're dead. He ain't not going anywhere. You don't even put the cuffs on him.
He posed a health threat.
What I like is other than all, you sent me this thing about
what kind of fish?
The new Reborg Q. They have got a watch robot now in Japan.
Yeah, in the malls.
In the malls. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the picture of it?
Yo, it looks
like a Dalek.
Yeah.
I mean, right out of Doctor Who. Honest to God. It's supposed to do all kinds of things. Is it armed? It's armed with extinguisher.
Yeah, it's armed with a fire extinguisher. Yeah,
and it can get into the elevator.
Right.
And it can...
It doesn't know what to do when people stand around taking pictures of it, though. Which has been the problem.
I'm under attack.
Yeah, exactly.
I am under attack. I mean, it doesn't know the difference between the flash of a barrel and the flash of a camera.
Right.
Either one,
right.
I'm under attack.
Yeah.
It electrifies the radio.
Right.
That's right.
Teaser, buddy.
That's the thing about it. It could send out like 14 tasers in all directions.
Right.
Does it be like this? Whatever. There's something that does that. Like those. What do they call them? The Betty bombs, or what do they call them? The bouncing Bettys. Yeah, exactly right.
Well, what you do is just put a Tesla coil on the top of 50,000 volts, just starts arcing over.
Now, wouldn't that be something? I'd like to film that. You know, that'd be
people
something.
They just run. They didn't even have to do anything. You know,
but I mean,
that thing's coming at you. This got 14-foot bolts coming off of it. You know?
Well, it is interesting to see. This is apparently supposed to be Japan. It's an upgrade of one they've had before.
Right.
But apparently, this one's supposed to do a pretty good job of quote patrolling the thing, and it's not going to be long before the next one. Given the Moore's Law, in a couple of years, you can bet that it's going to be armed.
Yep,
I want one. They're only $3,200.
I know. That's what I couldn't believe. They were so cheap.
Ah, man, I'm telling you, let's go get one.
Wow,
we could put it on the.
That's what we need.
Put down. The squeezy bomb.
The crayon.
This Arizona woman, a woman found $20,000 in the bank deposit tube and then calmly walked into the bank and turned it in.
Oh, my God.
But actually it gets a little better. Yeah. It gets a little better because they didn't know whose it was. So now if no one claims it, she will actually get the money.
Jimmy, claim it.
I remember now. Where was that? That's what happened.
It's in two bundles of $10,000 each.
That's exactly how it happened.
I remember
green.
That.
It was green. Had some green on it.
That's right. Well, you know what? Speaking of money, which I saw the one funny video where the prostitute walks down the road. Did you see that one?
No.
They had this girl dressed up like a prostitute, and she's walking down the road, and she drops like $50 on the sidewalk.
What porn site is this here, Jim?
And, wait a minute. She drops like $50 on the sidewalk and then walks around the corner. And amazingly, surprise, surprise, guys following her pick up the money, and they go to return it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, as they return it to her, flash goes the camera, and they have a picture. Exactly. And they have a picture of this guy, prophecy. I mean, she's sitting there totally.
Hey, listen, and that is Jimmy's story, and he is sticking to it. Okay?
It is stunning.
So when you see him in the Gainesville Sun and on their website, framed.
That is how he got framed.
Who framed Jimmy Doan?
It is just stunning. I mean, I saw the pictures, and of course, then the cops. Of course, they're fake cops. It was kind of a joke thing, but still, the fake cop comes up, and here's the guy. But I was just giving him. Who would believe you?
Soiled his drawers.
Oh, I would imagine.
You just go stand on the money and wait a long time.
that's what you. First of all, but I mean, you got to ask yourself, what would be the motive?
I'm just sitting here smoking a carton of cigarettes.
What would be the motive for returning $100 of wad of money to a hooker?
Right.
What do you suppose the motive would be?
I don't know.
I can think of one.
Maybe she'd reward you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might. Hey, I can't actually give you cash, but
I'll give you a quick.
I mean, that's exact. Can you imagine if some old hag was walking down the street and dropped $100? Now, that would be the test to see how many. And she walks around the corner.
No, you knock her over the head and see if she's got any more.
We rest
if she's getting $100 bill, she might have more,
that's
man.
That's exactly
credit
right.
Cops,
if she can afford to drop it.
Right.
Hey, man, that's a nice ring you got there,
that's
baby.
Right. That's right. Exactly right. What's next?
Let's see. Here's one. I got to read the headline. Man beats peacock. Claimed the bird. He thought the bird was a vampire.
Okay, and he was smoking what?
I don't know, man. Kidding. I'm telling you, it's in New York, so that tells you something. But, man, the guy beat the shit out of the bird.
I mean, he was bigger than the bird.
What was
of course,
a peacock doing in New York?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Man, it was a vampire.
We arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
He was riding a camel.
Yeah. Did you see a World of Warcraft fan site was sold for $1 million?
What really? Do you mean?
The World of War. That's the fix. It's a
no,
fiction.
No, no. I know. It's a.
Well, now this is not
our friend Griff plays World of Warcraft. He's got three characters worth $700 a piece right now.
Well, it's apparently somebody. Now this is not strictly true. I read the comments on this, and it's not exactly true. But apparently, $1 million changed hands has to do with this site.
Well, I believe that site's got to be worth more than $1 million.
No,
it's got to be the game itself.
No, right? No, 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 no. It's well, but you know, they were buying. Apparently, you can buy points and stuff like that. But By some estimates, the secondary market for these virtual assets of all online games is approaching $1 billion a year.
Wow.
I mean, right. That's stunning.
Maybe that's like an eBay auction site for your virtual characters or something like that.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Right. I mean, why? You know, that's the
you know, you sit there and you play the guy for enough days, it's worth money.
And they said playing video games didn't pay.
Yeah, that's right. Well, not only that, when you figure it out on some of these guys, it'd be like that South Park one where they tried to beat that guy. You know, they all turned to Jell-O or something in South Park. They had a... They're playing one of these fantasy things. And they did they did on The Simpsons too one time. It was really cute. I forgot. Wait a minute. Jimmy lost his train of thought. No, there was something I was going to say. I mean, God, it's the old age sticking in.
It is. Hey, well, did you hear about this? There's a new bat-borne virus here. This is over in Malaysia, and obviously they've come up with a name for this bat. It is called the Malacca virus. Malacca is a state over there, and obviously Malacca's a little pissed off. This tourist destination of Malacca is now the Malacca virus.
So probably going to put a dent in their tourist trade.
A little pissed off about that.
So I would have guessed.
There's a riot, pitchforks.
Well, the next thing I had here, which I thought was kind of interesting, from Cranston, Rhode Island, states face decisions on who is, maybe you can answer this, Curtis, who is mentally fit to vote. Apparently, Rhode Island is among a growing number of states grappling with the question of who's mentally impaired. And it has to do with whether you're in an insane asylum or you've been declared incompetent or whatever, demented or whatever. And apparently there's, the ACLU is saying, well, let everybody vote. We don't care. And if you're...
Yeah, man.
it has to do with who's determining whether you're competent to vote. It's interesting to me. Only in Maine and Vermont, they allow jailed felons to vote.
Cool.
One of the psychiatrists says that when they have mental people in the mental institution, they said as part of their reacclimation to society, they should be allowed to vote.
I think so. I mean, it throws a little factor in there, but it ought to all wash out. I mean, if they're really insane, then it ought to sort of even out.
Right. Well, of course, you notice that what I like is that there's no, who is mentally fit to run?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not worried about the voters. It's the people that are actually up there in Washington, Tallahassee, and so I would like to give those guys a mental test because I would have guessed that half of them would fail.
Let me tell you, nobody can pass a psychological exam.
That's true. You know about that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
Man.
It's like the street side sobriety test. Stand on one foot. I mean, you have to be a gymnast.
Foot,
gymnast. Yeah. Yeah. Gymnast can't
tilt
fail that.
Tilt your head back, close one eye, and touch your nose.
That's right. Guess what?
and I'll catch you.
That's
so,
right.
So, Jimmy, I thought about you the other day. You saw this Paris Hilton can of dog food.
Oh, my
show
God.
In the last part.
$305 for a can of dog food, and I immediately thought, Jimmy Doan. Must have won.
Her empty can of
gourmet dog food. That's right. From her garbage. So, or maybe did you get the toothbrush? You at least bid on the toothbrush, didn't you?
No, I failed. I failed to get that one. I had it on my alert search on eBay, but for some reason it didn't pop through. It must have gotten mixed up on somebody else's toothbrush that I was looking for.
Two envelopes sent to her while she was in jail sold for $510. A Coke can pulled from her trash went for $51.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say something else, but keep going.
A Coke can. Because the Coke was gone, unfortunately.
I mean, because that'd go for more than $51. I mean,
especially if,
that's right.
Where it was pulled.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so, we got that. Unbelievable. So that wasn't you, Jimmy, huh?
Boy, if I was her, I'd be generating trash like there's no tomorrow.
Oh,
I'll tell you, I would be saving my dump.
Someone had to say it.
I'm telling you,
there's a whole website for that.
That's it. Would be doing
savingmydump.com.
Is that still available?
It's available.
ParisisDump.com.
ParisisDump.
Did you notice that the smuggler's tunnels was discovered in Tijuana?
Tijuana.
I love more than 50 tunnels under the U.S.-Mexican border have been discovered since surveillance.
And do you imagine how many there are?
There's
500 of them.
This is the topper. The latest was discovered inside an area guarded by Treasury Department officials, where goods are to be imported from California to Mexico are held pending paperwork.
You know what's going to happen? When it finally does rain down there on the border, these tunnels are just going to start collapsing in.
Well, let me.
There's just going to be like.
Officials are investigating how the tunnel, 32 feet long is all it is. About 2 feet wide and 3 feet high, were able to operate so close to where federal officials were on duty. Well, guess
it's
what?
It's called bribery.
U.S. officials since May have been filling in at least six tunnels along the 2,000-mile border at a cost of $2.7 million.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, just stunning to me. You got to, like, you've asked the correct question. 50 have been discovered. Ask yourself, how many are there? They'll never get them.
I'm guessing 500.
And they could build that wall. They could build that wall and make the Chinese wall, make it a triple Chinese wall with watchtowers every 47 inches. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it ain't going to stop Dork.
No.
Ain't going to happen.
They can just buy the Chinese wall.
Well, I mean, look, like I've been saying, the last terrorist...
Chinese bring it over.
I mean, the last terrorist to come in from Mexico was Pancho Villa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What are they worried about?
Maybe
from Mexico.
Pancho going to come back, man.
I guess so.
There's all kinds of, like, super incorrect rhetoric running around on the web about, you know, 80% of all super felons are illegal aliens and all this stuff.
It's stunning.
And people pass it around like it's absolutely true. I've seen them build up getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and nobody ever checks the facts or anything. It's just ridiculous.
And let me tell you, I think the facts themselves are hard to come by.
Right.
I mean, a lot of this stuff is statistical, you know, with a plus or minus 50% variation.
They're felons because they got convicted of immigrating illegally.
Right.
You know, I mean... It's tautological.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's stunning to me to see how that works. I'm about done with anything. The only anything else you got?
I got a couple.
Okay, good.
this is great. No, I mean actually, I was reading something else. Well, you saw the prisoner.
We're done. See you next time.
This is Eric Engineer Show.
Yeah, that's right. That was it. This is a good one.
You saw that the prisoner was seeking a sex change operation in the prison.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That was something that would
murder
be illegal.
Murder serving life in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some comments on that.
No one has succeeded in persuading a judge to order a sex change operation.
Thank God.
But, yeah. I mean, life in prison.
Well, this is the great part, is that they spent more than $52,000 on experts to testify about an operation that would cost about $20,000.
And they haven't even started. No, they do that all the time here.
Hasn't started.
No, what is amazing is they do that. It is stunning to me to see how they do that. I realize that sometimes it's called green mail or extortion a lot of times, but here locally, they'll spend $100,000, $200,000 on legal fees to try and defeat some development, for instance, and then it'll finally go through, and you're thinking, well, why didn't you just let it go through in the first place? I mean, this has got to be,
right.
You know, if there's a question like that, screw it.
Who's the Lambda Legal?
Yeah, I love that.
The Lambda Legal.
No, read
legal.
The whole thing there. It's...
Well, the duty belongs to the prison to figure out how to fulfill its constitutional obligations to both provide adequate medical care and provide a fundamental security for all inmates, said Cole Thaler, an attorney with Lambda Legal, a gay and transgender rights group.
Yeah, a gay and transgender rights group. And here's a guy who gets paid.
That's Lambda Sigma Delta is what that is.
LSD.
I like it. Covered in drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Covered in drugs.
Anyway, so yeah, we can still go on. So, Jack, I did get you some tickets to this concert coming up here.
All right.
You got to get your own plane ticket to London, but it's your favorite.
I want to.
Yeah, well, anyway, you can look it up on the web. Google Spice Girls. I just had,
Spice Girls, we ran out of money tour.
I had one joke that I'm definitely going to have, we're going to post on the site here. This is whoa.
Yeah.
What happened? It's first politician fossil remains. Did you see that image?
Yes. Yeah.
Had his head up his ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This pelvic bone with a skull shoved up in there. You got to download it from the Jimmy Dunn site.
Well, let me tell you. At first, when I saw that
came from a hanger dog Lardo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was thinking that what it might have been was actually two people, one guy kissing the other's ass.
You be stuck. The judge.
Yeah, you be
it's
the
a
judge.
Lobbyist and a politician.
That's what I go. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, you got to figure. Wait a minute now. You got to figure that the politician is all asshole, and the lobbyist is all face with his tongue hanging out.
All ass kisser.
That's right. All ass kisser. That's I mean, you got to figure. So that was my first thought. Was this possibility is two people?
And just before you know it.
And they were caught in the act, right. and frozen for all time.
Ancient Roman.
Well, on that note,
well, there's a the other thing is that you see that where the private investigators can be paid to have sex with the prostitutes in Australia.
I love it in Australia. I'm on my way, mate.
Well, I know the problem is I talked to Damien. You're supposed to be Australian to get this job.
is Damien down there?
Oh yeah.
I mean, is he hooked up
for
this thing?
Girlfriend.
Why? It's called Time for a Motorcycle Ride.
Yeah, he got a new bike, actually. He's a drag racer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, he's got actually a really cool girlfriend who loves drag racing.
So
he would take the job.
How long does it take to become an Australian citizen? Can you just show up on the dock?
I don't know if you can just marry somebody or not. If you have any listeners
down
under.
Well, no, marrying is way you could marry the hooker, I guess, and then...
But I like it. You're supposed to bust the hooker. That's the problem. They're paying these people to... They're paying thousands of dollars.
Eventually, he will. Eventually,
to have sex with prostitutes.
Right? I mean, what?
She's young.
So they can gather enough evidence to shut down brothels. So they're paying Johns to go in there so they can get evidence to actually.
Of course, the evidence is all over the girl. Which I guess, I mean, you know, thank you, Bill Clinton, whatever. I don't know.
That's right.
That's right. See, yeah.
Right.
No, what I like about it is, of course, they're targeting the illegal brothels. You'll notice, of course, nobody's after the legal brothels, which they have down there. Yeah. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, you can bet that the legal brother people are the ones that are after that.
Who
are upset about
yeah,
this.
Upset
because
about
the, and what's the difference between a legal brother and an illegal brother anyway? Taxes.
About $150
taxes.
Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. $150.
I would
about
guess.
$150. And we don't ask any questions.
That's right. That's right.
All right, roll
You get to go in, what do you call it, camos? No, what do you call it? The commando style.
Right,
Ooh! Ow! Commando.
All right, well,
sans raincoat is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Sans raincoat.
Right. Sans raincoat. No glove, no love. Tight, baby. You gotta grab it.
Anyway, send us your emails at jimmy@jimmydone.com, and we want to hear from we appreciate it when we get something in that somebody comments and alerts us to news items. We'll try and make the next show a little sooner. Thank you, Jack, for making it.
As always, had a great time.
Counselor,
yo.
As always, good legal advice. Anybody wants to know legally and get your get-out-of-jail-free card? We did send off another mug, by the way.
All right.
We give shit away here.
Well, no, let's not get carried away. You have to pay.
You just got
to
pay a little.
You got to pay for it.
That it's free, just a dollar.
No, let me put it this way. I will put it in the box and pack it up for free.
Everything else, there's a fee.
That's everything else. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Okay, good.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for
listening. And we're going to have this call thing working before too long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, Jimmy started to actually work on it.
Almost actually?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He actually
I remember Eric
did.
Was, and of course, DJ, shut the hell up, Laura. As always, rocking on the mic over there.
Boy, I'll tell you, what a blabber mouth. I would have to take her track completely out of this thing because she's overriding everybody.
Yeah, that's right. So by the time you've heard this, you won't hear any DJ Laura.
No, that's right.
But there's an unbelievably full track.
Well, it'll probably take 3 or 4 days just to eliminate that
track.
Just
to get that out. Just all these always interrupting
the
us.
DJ Laura show.
That's right. Okay, it's DJLaura.com. Is
that .com. Just look at that. And
not to
be confused with BJLaura.com.
Cause that's
there
BJ
is
Bill. BJ Bill and Hillary Hill. Or
BJ.
Whatever.
BJ. Actually,
there was a...
Porn Star Laura. I bet there's a PornStarLaura.com.
Well, it was actually holding up.
Hey, our good friends, the Jimmy Doane Show, of course, Eric the Engineer and Jimmy Doane and Counselor Curtis and Gino.
Oh. And
Jack Rhodes.
And Jam and Jack Rhodes, man. It's top notch to those guys.
DJ Laura. Don't forget DJ Laura.
You know, she used to be Porn Star Laura.
Porn Star Laura. I don't know. Have she changed her title now?
I don't think she changed the thing. I think the show, I think Eric decided, well, you know, maybe he got a talking
we'll
to.
Always know love you. Porn star. We'll always know and love you as porn star.
I agree.
Star
man, porn star.
Roll that one.
Yeah. Hang it up.
That's a great one. See you soon, Jimmy Doan.
Thank you for listening to part 3 of the July 2nd, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast. Send your emails to Jimmy at jimmydoan.com. Support the Jimmy Doan Show by making a donation.